The Church of Shear Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, welcomes you to this edition of Shear Jashub, featuring the ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and today we will continue the introductory sermon in my husband's series on the Book of Romans. In the last program, Pastor Greg was giving the background of the church at Rome. It was not a church founded by the Apostle Paul, but it certainly was a church Paul looked forward to visiting, since Rome was the capital of the empire and the center of communications and travel. And we saw that there was an influential Jewish community which flourished in Rome from as early as the 2nd century B.C. When we left off, Pastor Greg was discussing the Jewish believers Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila was born in Asia Minor, but like many Jews, he and his wife had settled in Rome until they were forced to leave under the expulsion of the Jews from Rome by the Emperor Claudius in 49 AD. They meet Paul at Corinth and then travel with him to Ephesus to do the work of the Lord there. Let's rejoin Pastor Greg Scalzo.
The expulsion under Claudius was no more durable or successful than the expulsion under Tiberius early on. And the edict was probably allowed just to lapse out. It got ignored, and it was allowed to lapse for Claudius' death in AD 54. A few years later, the Jewish colony in Rome, again, was as flourishing as ever. They come back in, they have property there, and it included that Jewish colony, that Jewish community in Rome that was growing and prospering, included many Jewish believers in Jesus. Again, you have tremendous traffic in Rome, people naturally drifting to Rome from all over the empire. And when Paul writes the epistle to the Romans, which we believe there are different dates given to this book, and the dates all range between 56 to 58 AD, with 57 AD being most likely, either the winter or more likely the spring of 57 AD. Remember, he's going to celebrate the feast in Jerusalem, and we'll talk about that next time. By this point, as he wrote Romans, you see that it seems from Romans 16, verse 3, he's given the greeting to the people. You have a list of the people in Rome. He says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom also not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." And he goes on to speak of others. So it seems that Aquila and Priscilla have already returned back to Rome. Once Claudius is dead in 54, they all just come right back in. And they've been coming back in anyway over the expulsion was big to begin with, and then it just kind of dwindled out. They had a lot of financial influence. They had a lot of political influence, and they just keep prospering over in Italy. So by the time Paul writes the book of Romans, you again have a large Jewish community, many of them believers, in Rome, 57 AD. Remember, when Paul is before Festus and Agrippa, that's around 59 AD. So this letter of Romans is written about a couple of years before the account we read about when Paul addressed Festus and Agrippa. And obviously at that point, where is he on his way to? He's on his way to Rome. I appeal to Caesar. Okay. At this point, he's writing the letter. He's being convicted by the Holy Spirit that his next goal, the aim, and we'll talk about that next time, is Rome. No one knows who started the work of the Lord at Rome. There's no formal record, like we have the record of the planting of the churches in Asia Minor, in Antioch, in Jerusalem, or even in Ethiopia. There's no formal record of who actually started the church at Rome. But remember, the position of Rome as a center of the communications throughout the Roman Empire, and all that traffic we discussed would guarantee that once Christianity was securely established over in the eastern provinces, it would reach the capital very quickly. You had soldiers going back and forth. You have people doing commerce back and forth. We see, you know, the Jews got kicked out, but in a few years, they just come back in larger numbers. So it was, you know, obvious the gospel was going to reach Rome and reach Rome early on. If you look back to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, you read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, as they hear the disciples filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, you read that in verse 5, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and they're in there for the feast. Now, how many came for the feast of Passover and stayed for Pentecost? How many came in for Pentecost? They were supposed to come back for the three feasts, including Passover and Pentecost. So they're coming back, these Jews from the dispersion, from every nation under heaven. It was all the known world. They're traveling back, and they're hearing the noise of what's going on the day of Pentecost. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And it starts to list then Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and it gives the names of the different areas, the prominent areas, that there were Jewish people on the day of Pentecost that are going to hear the sermon. They see the sign of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to hear the sermon which Peter gave. And if you look in verse 10, at the very end, what does it say? Visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. You have a European contingent here. You have the European contingent from Rome. Jews from Rome. Rome has a big, large, influential, clannish Jewish community. And so devout Jews from Rome and proselytes. You had a lot of Gentiles at this time. And this is happening before the gospel even, as they're seeing the dichotomy, the difference between what their mythology is like and the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the one true God. You have many proselytes from the Gentiles becoming Jews, getting circumcised and becoming Jews. You see how many of the Roman soldiers were influenced and who would help build synagogues and, you know, help the Jewish people, because as they were the conquerors, they were being conquered because they saw a big difference in the ridiculous imaginations they were taught compared to the truth of the Word of God. So you have these Jews there, and some of them are, you know, physical Jews, actual descendants of Abraham, and then you have Jews that are converts to Judaism from Rome on the day of Pentecost. And obviously, some of these are those who heard them speaking in their own tongues. Some of these were those who said to Peter after he gives the sermon, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said what? Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And some of these from Rome, these Roman Jews, were those from afar off who heard, who received, who were baptized, who received Jesus Christ, and maybe many of them stayed there and were part of the thousands in that vital church growing in Jerusalem. And maybe, most likely, a number of them went back to Rome or visited back to Rome or sent letters to their families back to Rome. But clearly, from the very beginning, you had Roman, Jewish believers in Jesus from the day of Pentecost. And so it's natural that you're going to have a church at Rome, a church that's a very Jewish church, off the day of Pentecost. if I'm pronouncing his name right, Ambroesta, a 4th century writer, had a commentary. So he's in the 300s, a commentary on the book of Romans. And in it, he passes along a tradition that was well known in his time that, quote, the Romans had embraced the faith of Christ, albeit according to the Jewish rite, without seeing any sign or mighty works or any of the apostles. Now, without the apostles visiting them, a church began in Rome, albeit according to the Jewish rite. And that reflects the truth that it was the Jewish Christians who first carried the gospel to Rome. And Judaism and these Jewish believers are a key to understanding this Roman church. Hippolytus, in the early 3rd century AD, so this is the 200s, early 200s, says that Christian worship at Rome retained some elements derived from Judaism. For example, they would have the bath of purifications that the Jews, at the time of Jesus, you read about that in the New Testament. Any convert to Christianity, many times they would want to be baptized on Easter. Well, the Thursday before, they would do the Jewish rite of purification. They would have the jugs there where they would wash them just like the Jews were doing at the time of Jesus. So there was a large Jewish influence in that early church at Rome. And the key point for our study is that the Jewish believers play a key role in this church. And Paul is addressing, it's plainly clear from the book of Romans, nobody debates it, that Paul is writing to a church where there are both Jews and Gentiles. In the beginning, he's confronting the Jews. You know, the Gentiles, when they do the things by conscience, right? He's telling the Jews it's not enough to have the law. Up in chapter 11, then, he's talking to the Gentiles and telling them about Israel. Don't get too conceited in yourselves because they're the natural branch. So he's addressing in this letter both the Jews and the Gentiles, and the church at Rome had both, Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles. But the base of Christianity in Rome was Jewish. And even it's possible that when Paul writes this letter that the number of Gentiles is numerically more than the Jewish believers, some feel, there's no way really to know. The actual influence on the church, the founding of the church, and the ones influencing the church were clearly Jews.
You can rehear this program and listen to hundreds of other Bible study radio programs on our church website at shiarjashub.org. We are also building quite a library of video teachings from our Sunday service live streams on YouTube. The Sunday sermon is live streamed at 10:30 a.m. and then posted on YouTube, Rumble.com, and on the church website itself for you to access at any time, day or night. Serious times require serious Bible study, and we appreciate any donation you make to Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle to keep this important scripture teaching ministry on WFIF, and we are offering a very special thank you gift for your donation of $50 or more. We will send you an autographed copy of Pastor Greg's award-winning book, The Nature and Power of Prayer. It is offer 102, and the website is shiarjashub.org.